Hello to everyone out there today. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you again from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. Welcome to our broadcast today. I want to start out reading some scripture to you today out of Hebrews chapter 9 in verse number 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. What that scripture is saying there, and the very blood that it is talking about, is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no remission for sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26. We'll start in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. What I want to talk to you about for the next two broadcasts that we have, I want to talk to you about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's hell. What I'm trying to tell you is this: it's either the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ or it's hell. That's your choices. I don't care what preacher you've got out there that has told you that it is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is all that needed to take place. I'm here to tell you that that is not true. Without the shedding of blood and without the applying of the blood upon the mercy seat in heaven, there would be no salvation. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God would not accept their work of their own hands as a covering for their sin. The first sin that that they became aware of was their nakedness. That is very instructive because they became focused upon the physical rather than fellowship with God. They attempted to cover their sin by sewing fig leaves together. That was a work of their own flesh. But God would not accept the works of their own hands. Instead, an innocent animal had to be slain to provide coverage of skins to cover their nakedness. Have you ever noticed that when people truly get saved today, that the first thing that they want to do is to cover themselves up because they realize before a holy God that they are unclean in their nakedness? Now, the first crime in the Bible that is recorded in the Bible was committed by Cain because he became very wroth or angry because of God's requirement to bring a blood offering rather than something that was the fruit of his own hands. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that God rejected the offering of Cain. God had already prescribed a blood sacrifice. He was only going to accept the blood of animals as a temporary covering for the sins of folks in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, and all the way up until the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. Now, the very first crime occurred because Cain murdered his brother over the requirement that the blood was the only thing that God would accept. The first persecution of a God-fearing man who was Abel in this case came about because of the rejection of the blood-bought way by Cain. He rejected the blood-bought way. Man continues to reject the blood-bought way this day. The blood of Jesus is the only way to salvation that God will accept. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way of Cain is referred to in the book of Jude. It is the way of false religion. It is the way of a bloodless religion. Just as Satan used Cain to persecute the way of the blood, he has continued to use his children throughout the ages to torture, maim, and kill Bible-believing peoples. That's what Satan's children has continued to do. Religion hates God and hates God's way. Religion hates the blood of Jesus. Religion is man's attempts to get to God. Christianity is God coming down to man. True Bible-believing Christianity is not a religion, but is rather the reality of God living in you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I repeat, it is either the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ or it is hell. That blood came to us through the Holy Ghost of God. I say hallelujah for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In the words of that glorious old hymn, nothing but the blood. And how we love singing that hymn around here. Oh, precious is the flow that can make me white as snow. All I have to do is reach out and claim, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of my sins, put my faith and trust in Him, and then that blood will wash away all of my sins, past, present, and future. In the blood is eternal salvation. When we look at the Old Testament sacrificial offerings, the death of the innocent animal was of none effect until the blood was offered upon the altar. The blood had to be offered. It was not just the death of the animal that served as that temporary covering. The blood had to go to the offering, had to be placed upon the altar. In every Old Testament type of the sinless Lamb of God, the blood and not the death was the instrument of the atonement. Did you hear that? In every Old Testament type of the sinless Lamb of God, the blood and not the death was the instrument of the atonement. Of course, we know that in order to offer the blood, the sacrifice had to die. But God specifically specified blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Now, all the way back in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, God knew He was going to be offering the Son of God upon the old rugged cross. And it was going to be that blood that it would take to save us. So that's the blood that's being talked about in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Though it is obvious that death would result from the sacrifice, the focus was upon the blood and not the death. God required the blood. The innocent had to die for the guilty. The Lord Jesus Christ had to die for my sins. I was guilty. I was worthy of hell. And the only way that I'm ever going to get into heaven is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, time and time again in the sacrifices, once again, the emphasis is upon the blood. And I don't want you, in the scripture that we just read in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, I do not want you to miss the tense of the verb that is used there. God says in that verse, I have given it to you to make an atonement for your souls. The word have is in the past tense. In God's mind, He had already given the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an accomplished fact in the mind of God. From Revelation 13:8, we know that God considered the Lamb to have already been slain from the foundation of the world. He knew He was going to have to slay His Son. And it's also obvious from Leviticus 17:11 that the blood referred to was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For some to say, as John MacArthur and Robert Thyme Jr. have said, that it was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and not the blood of Christ that saves us from the sins is the equivalent of denying the Christian faith. It is going in the way of Cain. It is heresy. Why is it that the Mormons, as stated by Brigham Young, believe that there are certain sins a person cannot commit, or excuse me, certain sins that a person can commit that the blood of Christ cannot atone for. Folks, that is blasphemy. It's heresy. Why is it that heretics such as John MacArthur and Robert Thamy and Brigham Young can deny the blood of Jesus? It's because it's been planted in their minds by Satan. Genesis 9:4 says this, "But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat." Human beings have a natural revulsion to drinking blood, don't we? And in fact, if you take a look at the killing of animals in the Old Testament, God commanded that the blood not be partaken of. Now, and if you take a look at all the satanic rituals around, and we just come through what I refer to as Halloween, which, by the way, no Christian should celebrate at all, because it celebrates death is what it does. It celebrates Satan. If you want to celebrate something, celebrate life. Celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Celebrate Easter. Celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in him is life, and Satan is death. Now, if you take a look around you at a lot of the rituals that go on in Satanism and the religion of Wiccan, the devil's put strong emphasis on drinking blood in satanic rituals that drive Satanism, witchcraft, magic, and sorcery. The devils know that it is a direct attack upon God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that. Even the devils know that there is power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll do whatever they can to tear that doctrine down. Let me give you some quick facts about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ is God's blood. That's Acts 20, verses 28. The blood of Jesus Christ is pure blood. That's Matthew 27, verse 4. Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14. And also 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18, 19. That is why any Old Testament animal sacrifice that was a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ had to be, number one, a male. It had to be the firstborn. It had to be pure and undefiled and not marred by any physical defect whatsoever. At least 50 different times, the Old Testament sacrifices were described as having to be without spot or without blemish. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only atonement that God will accept for our sins. In Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, that is a stated fact. The blood of Jesus was a sweet-smelling savor offering unto God. That's contained in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. The blood of Jesus was offered only once, once and only once, stated in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, Hebrews 9, 26 through 28, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, and 1 Peter 3, 18. Therefore, any church ritual or tradition such as that of Roman Catholicism that offers up the Lord Jesus Christ on its blasphemous altars as a continual sacrifice is not scriptural. It is akin to counting the blood of the covenant an unholy thing and trotting underfoot the Son of God. Read Hebrews 10, verse 29 again. The Lord Jesus Christ was offered once and only once. It was a perfect sacrifice. No need to ever be offered again. Let me remind you of something. The word atonement, referring to the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, occurred only once in the New Testament. There's a reason for that. It only had to be offered once. He only had to be offered once because he was perfect. Now, the blood of Jesus was to also be sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. That's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. The Old Testament high priest was but a shadow of our perfect high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our perfect high priest. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless, he was the only one who could enter into the Holy of Holies in heaven to sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 through Hebrews chapter 8, verse 2. The blood of Christ was presented almost immediately after his resurrection. That's contained in John chapter 20, verse 17. Why was it important that Mary Magdalene not touch the Lord Jesus Christ before he ascended to the Father in heaven, when later the disciples were encouraged to touch him? Why could she not touch him? Could it be that a touch from Mary would have defiled him in his role as the high priest before he presented the blood at the mercy seat in heaven? I believe that that is the case. Because even in the Old Testament, if the high priest was defiled before he went in to the Holy of Holies, he would die in the Holy of Holies. He had to be perfectly clean, ceremonially clean. Now, the reason, in Luke 24, 39, it says in part that the Spirit, when the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead, and when he was talking to the disciples, Luke 24, 39 says in part, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. That was the Lord Jesus Christ saying that. And the reason that he was able to say that is because the blood had already been offered upon the altar in heaven, in the Holy of Holies in heaven. Now, without the blood, I want to let you know again and emphasize to you, it's either the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ or it's hell. If you reject the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist said in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," he knew that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would take away the sin of the world. He knew that. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ would become our Passover. In the first Passover, the slaughter of the sinless lamb was of none effect until the blood had been struck on the side and upper doorpost. And that blood being struck across those doorposts was a perfect picture of the cross upon which the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. Without the blood, the death of the lamb was useless, and that's the way it was. If the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had not been shed, there would have been no atonement. If the blood had not been applied to the altar in the Holy of Holies, or the mercy seat, excuse me, I said altars twice now, on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, if that blood had not been applied, if the Lord Jesus Christ had died and that blood not been applied, there would have been no atonement. We would all still be hell-bound sinners. Now, in Matthew 26, 28, the Lord Jesus Christ did not tell his disciples that it would be his death that was for remission of sins, but rather his blood. Jesus said in that verse, it says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Notice he didn't say it was his death. He said it was his blood that was shed for the remission of sins. Now, a brief summary of the New Testament doctrine of the blood of Christ shows that through the blood of Christ, we receive propitiation. Now, that's a big word, and I'll talk about it in a few minutes. We receive justification. We receive redemption. We receive spiritual cleansing. We receive reconciliation to God. We are sanctified. And then we have the privilege to come before the Father and have victory over Satan, all because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would have none of those available to us. Now, we see propitiation in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. We see justification in Romans 5, verse 9. We see redemption in Ephesians 1, 7, and in Colossians 1, 14, and Hebrews 9, 12, and 1 Peter 1, 18, and 19, and in Revelation 5, 9. We see a cleansing, or in other words, a purging, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, and in Hebrews 9, 22, Hebrews 10, 4, 1 John 1, 7, Revelation 1, 5, and Revelation 7, 14. We see reconciliation in Ephesians 2, 13, and in Colossians 1, 20. We see the privilege to come before the Father in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22, and we see victory over Satan in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Now, we're going to read on and cover some more scripture in this. We cannot have victory over Satan unless we have it through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let us walk through the New Testament to see what the blood of Jesus has done for us. From Acts 20, verse 28, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased the church of the living God with his own blood. This verse says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now Acts 20, 28 also shows that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's blood. The Lord Jesus Christ is fully God. He is God, and don't ever forget it. He is the second part of the Holy Trinity. In Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 26, we see that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ purchased justification, redemption, propitiation, and remission of sins for all sinners. It's available to all. There is no such thing as limited atonement. The blood is for everybody. Romans 3, verses 23 through 26 says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." It's through the blood, folks. It's through the blood specifically of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Romans 3:26, only believers are the recipients of justification, redemption, and propitiation, and the remission of sins. That's the only way you're going to get it, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, justification is an act of free grace, of the free grace whereby God pardons a sinner and accepts him as righteous. And what it really means is if you look at the word justified, it is just as if I'd never sinned. That's the way God sees us. And he doesn't see us that way because of anything that we have done, but he sees us that way because and only because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we'll ever come before God is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by the blood. Now the word redemption is the purchase of God's favor by the blood of Christ. Redemption is a price paid to God for the deliverance of sinners from the bondage of sin and Satan. In other words, we are slaves to our sin and slaves of Satan. Redemption is a ransom paid to God and not to Satan. It is a price to God. Now, we are made free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Romans 6:18, Romans 6:22, and Romans 8:2, we have been made free to become servants of righteousness and we have become servants of God and to be free from the law of sin and death. That's what the blood of Christ has done for us. Now, I used the word a few minutes ago, propitiation. The word propitiation means a covering, literally, is what it means. Okay, now, propitiation is an act of the Lord Jesus Christ whereby he appeased the wrath of God. Remember from John chapter 3, verse 36, that if you're lost, that the wrath of God abideth upon you. And it is only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that that wrath is appeased. Now, remission is an act of God's forgiveness whereby we are pardoned from the punishment that we justly deserve. I don't care out there today how good you may think that you are, how high and mighty you are in the church. I don't care if you're the best preacher in the land. I don't care what position it is that you think that you have. You deserve to go to hell. You deserve hell. I deserve to go to hell because I'm wicked. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm wicked. The only pathway that I have into heaven is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that I'm going. Now in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, we see the doctrine of justification once again connected to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned these verses a few minutes ago. In this passage, we see both reconciliation and the atonement are once again tied to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. It's either the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ or it's hell. Now, Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11 say this, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Remember, I said a moment ago that that word atonement is mentioned only one time, and here it is in the New Testament. This is it here. And notice that the blood is right in this very same passage. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are justified. Every Old Testament offering that was done according to the dictates of the Word of God was an atonement. It was a temporary covering. Atonement is a old English word that literally means at one meant. In other words, it is that thing that, not that thing, it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes us at one with God. That's what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ done. And that's the only way that you're ever going to be reconciled to God. The atonement reconciles man to God. All of the atonements in the Old Testament were nothing but temporary atonements. These atonements held back the righteous judgment of God were but a temporary covering. It is here in Romans 5 through 11 where this atonement is referred to. And we look at the Old Testament, there's at least 175 references in the Old Testament to the atonement. One in the New Testament. That's amazing, isn't it? And the reason for that is the Lord Jesus Christ only had to be offered one and only one time. Does not have to be a continual offering. And anybody that indicates that he is to be offered on a daily basis or offered on a weekly basis, they're guilty of blaspheming the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The atonement is freely offered through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm getting kind of short on time. I'm getting kind of short on time here, but I want to say this. In talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood, the New Testament is loaded up with it. Probably the bloodiest book in the New Testament is the book of Hebrews. And it deals with this idea of the one-time sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It deals with the idea, it condemns man's works, it condemns the works of the earthly priesthood, and makes it clear to us that the only way to be have our sins covered and the only thing that is going to keep us out of hell is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, next week when we join you, I'm going to be speaking to you a little bit more about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved today, I would encourage you to repent of your sins, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you. Thank you for joining us today.